We are visiting and talking with Dr. Frank Tamburi today, who is a prostate and prostate cancer expert. And we're really honored to have him in the show today. And one question I had, follow-up for that last one, Dr. Tamburi, was even if you're not able to give testosterone to a patient with a high PSA, would it be worthwhile to at least lower the estrogen? Have you found the PSA can respond to that?
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Absolutely. So that's one of the quandaries that people have, especially with doctors. When I teach my students, I say, okay, if prostate cancer or prostate issues, as we talked about early on in the show, often are linked to low testosterone and high estrogen, well, then how do you change that? I mean, the obvious is, oh, well, take more testosterone. And, of course, guys like to hear that because, you know, they hear it on the radio all the time. But like you said, if there's a cancer problem, or even if not, is there a way to deal with that ratio? The first is, and I'll answer the estrogen in a second, but you can raise testosterone naturally by essentially working out. Strength exercise and building up muscle mass is a natural and safe way to increase testosterone. I know it sounds like a cliche, go exercise, but that is one way to boost that testosterone. Second of all, you reduce the estradiol level, as you were asking, by working out again. And when you build up muscle, it's usually at the expense of fat breakdown. When you break down the fat, the estrogen that's stored in there leaves, and so estrogen goes down. One other little caveat to that is what's often the third spoke in this that's often ignored is progesterone. Progesterone is actually, obviously, with a female hormone, but it's a good female hormone for men as well. And so progesterone is considered a protectant against prostate cancer as well and can help in the 5-alpha reductase part of the pathway. So I always tell guys, you know, look at increasing progesterone, increasing testosterone naturally, and reduce estrogen through either exercise and or botanicals like aromatase inhibitors, things like DIM, which comes from broccoli, cauliflower, cruciferous vegetables.
Okay, great. So other than the PSA test, what other criteria do you use to determine risk for prostate cancer or even a need for a biopsy?
Sure. And by the way, I just want to make sure, I know you're looking at the time wherever we are, but I want to, at some point, I want to go over to some of the PSA rule outs. So guys, when they pulled out their PSA early on, I don't want them hanging in case they're dead.
Oh, sure. And you can feel free to do that now if you want.
Okay. All right. Well, we can do it now, I guess. And then because you're right, though, there's these specialty tests that are out there. But for you guys that had your PSA out, take a look at a couple of things. The first thing you want to look at is, again, is it under 10? If it's under 10, then you're in the questionable zone and we have to do more workup. If it's over 10, then, unless there's something really going on, you're definitely in the cancer risk that it could be a cancer. But I've seen up to 20 or 30 on that. The next thing is look at how quickly did the PSA go up. If the PSA is 6, well, if it's been 6 for years, does that really matter? Because is the problem that you have cancer, or is the problem, do I have a cancer that's worsening and doing something? So if it stays at 6, does it really matter? If it went from 16 and dropped to 6, that's completely different. Obviously, that'll be a good thing. If it went from 2 up to 6, then that's a whole different deal, because that means it's increasing more than 1 or 2 points in a year, which is one of the cutoffs. So if your PSA goes over more than a point in a year, or if you track it over a number of years and the overall line, you know, when you kind of just average them out, if it looks like it's going over a point per year, then that's an increased velocity and it's something that needs to be ruled out. Another very, very key issue to know, however, is if the PSA goes up very quickly, a couple points in a year or whatever, do you have symptoms? Very important. Most guys like to tell me how much they pee, like a 20-year-old, and they go, oh, I'm fine, I pee fine. Those are the guys I'm worried about, because here's the thing. There are only three things in general that make the PSA go up: cancer, prostatitis, which is an inflammation of the gland, not necessarily an infection, and BPH, which is an enlarged gland. All three make the PSA go up. The key is that BPH and prostatitis often give you symptoms. Prostate cancer is insidious. You often don't know you have it. And so, therefore, when you see a PSA go up, I want guys to tell me all kinds of peeing problems, you know. And I watch Dr. Sherman, how many times they get up, how many times they cross their legs. Like, I'm watching all of this in my office. I want to see problems because that helps me rule out that that's the case. And for those of you guys, and so, like, if your PSA goes up, think back and say, well, did I have an infection then? Was it over Christmas and I flew somewhere and maybe my family got sick? Did I run a marathon? Because if you had strenuous activity, that can make it go up. Did I just buy a new motorcycle recently? Whatever.
Exactly.
There's many reasons it goes up. So keep all that in mind. And the last part, and there's only so much to talk about PSA assessing, but is how large is your prostate? Many of you probably don't know. If not, ask your doctor to do a general TRUSP ultrasound and ask your doctor to do an image. At my office here in Arizona and a doctor writes there in Seattle, I can do the volume as well. But even if you can't do the full color Doppler, you don't need all of that to get a volume. Ask your doctor a way to get a volume of that prostate. When you get the volume, you divide it into your PSA. And if your score is under 0.15, then you're probably in a good spot, even if you have cancer. If it's over 0.3, that's the red zone, that probably means there's a metastatic cancer problem, and you may not be a candidate for natural treatments. If you're in between 0.15 and 0.3, when you divide this out, PSA by your volume, then that's the yellow zone again. That means it's either cancer or prostatitis, and as we just learned, the best way to determine cancer versus prostatitis is, are there symptoms or not?
And that's called the PSA density, right?
Yes, that's the PSA density score.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's take another call. We have a caller waiting quite a while. His name is Ray. Hello, Ray. You have a question for Dr. Tamburi?
Well, hi. I saw you, Dr. Tamburi, last October, last time you were here.
Oh, and thank you.
Yeah. So two questions is, one, I'm seeing a naturopathic doctor you know of, Dr. Yarnell. And I was wondering, how do I get a copy of my color Doppler printout so I could show him?
You mean from some that we've done from our office?
No, you did it at
the Tahoma Clinic.
Seattle.
Right.
Tahoma Clinic last October. You're here?
Right. So you're trying to find out how to get images from what I did it to Dr. Yarnell? Is that what you're asking?
Right, yeah, the color one. I got a black and white one, but how do I get the color one?
Okay, well, just call the office, and we'll arrange that if he needs a color Doppler picture of that. That's fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. And then the prostatitis, is that how you pronounce it? Both of you doctors?
Yes.
So we determined when I was with you, Dr. Tamburi, that my volume was 29. I went to see Dr. Yarnell, and he says probably prostatitis. So I looked at my Meridian Valley Labs test, and one of my big allergens was casein. So I've taken away my milk completely, but I'm still having, you know, I get woke up two or three times a night with two or three drips to go to the bathroom. What other food substances would cause the prostate to get inflamed when it's so small? You said it was medium size, 29?